the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we're doing for the four Sundays of Advent, we're going over the four purposes of the Mass. And of course, will follows understanding, so if you don't know what the purposes of the Mass are, then obviously you don't know what you're doing at Mass. And if you don't know what you're doing at Mass, then you're not deriving any graces from Mass or the fruits of it, which explains a lot considering the condition of the world today. Pope St. Pius V, during his day, indicated the great problems that were happening in the world at his time, which are not so much as critical as today, were based on the fact that the Catholic layman was not living his life in the world. He was not giving witness to Christ. He was not trying to consecrate the world to Christ. He was living a mediocre life, and therefore no one would see the life of Christ because laymen weren't living like Christ, and therefore no one came to know Christ, and everything began to be problematical. What's even worse today, to be sure, since we live in what is often dubbed a post-Christian society, a secular society, but their indications are that secularism is already beginning to die, especially when you see, despite all of the misinformation you get from the media, the changes that you see in Russia, for example, where there is a joining of the Russian Orthodox Church to the government, and that government is the only one in well over a century to declare that it would battle over its religion. And this is a change from a secular culture that says all religion is bad. So there are signs that indeed things are collapsing for secularism, but it's obviously not due to the Catholic layman doing what he's supposed to do in the world, since only 21% of Catholics in the United States go to Mass every Sunday. Only 21%. So think of what that leaves that aren't. And therefore, since the Mass is the source and summit of the Catholic life, it is everything. And without the Mass, as a Catholic, you are absolutely nothing. Technically, you're not even Catholic. You're Catholic in name only. The Mass is the source and summit of our Catholic lives. It's the whole point of our existence. It's the whole goal of our existence. This should be the highest point of your life on any given day. And St. Teresa of Avila said, the most precious moments of our lives are experienced after we receive communion, in that period of thanksgiving during the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And indeed, the first point, as we covered last week, the first purpose of the Mass is adoration. And again, adoration is not the warm fuzzy, it's not sitting down with the flower saying, Jesus loves me, he loves me not, he loves me, he loves me not. It's not a big warm fuzzy where you hug something and feel good. Adoration is when you acknowledge that God has supreme dominion over everything, including your very thoughts, your very actions. So if you're disposed correctly at Mass and you know you cannot adore God without God himself showing you how, hence the Son shows us, God himself would show the Jews how to worship him properly, and the Christ, who is God made man, shows us the fulfillment of true worship and religion in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. So if you have proper adoration, then you absolutely don't think about anything at Mass except God. Every glance that you make at Mass is supposed to be for God. Every thing you feel is directed towards God. So that means even when you are distracted at Mass, you simply turn back to God. And if you are distracted, say your children are a little bit unruly, you offer that to our Lord. But you also are mindful that if your children don't adore God and learn how to adore God, then they'll never know how to love God. And if they don't love God, guess what? They only love themselves. And they become prideful. So as they get older and more reasonable, especially when they reach the age of 7, things should be changing, and your children should be more attentive at Mass and know what adoration is. Not a warm fuzzy, but acknowledging God's dominion over every created thing and over every aspect of your life. As I told you last week, this is the one time where you gather to think only about God and not yourself. to think only about God and not the things that concern you in the world. Our collect, our opening prayer for Mass today, indicates the reality that those who are trying, because unfortunately not everybody's trying, those who are trying to run to the Master for salvation need God's help to do so, not letting any earthly thing hinder us. And we heard Jesus warn us last week about not letting the anxieties of daily life blind us to the reality of his second coming. Because how easily we can claim our worldly responsibilities are more important than our religious responsibilities and then dismiss everything of God and embrace only a secular life, which is what too many Catholics did after the rise of the United States as the world power after World War II and the rise of the status of living and all the wealth and ease that came to the United States after World War II. It made Catholics suddenly want to be like Protestants and fit in, and they all started living for the world and materialism, and then they started making changes in the Mass in order to reflect that materialistic notion. One of the great flaws of the Church today is Mass facing the people, because it has taught the people that Mass is about them. When Father offers a sacrifice towards you and says his prayers looking at you, what else are you going to think except that it's all about you? And that's exactly what the enemy wants. And so, if the first purpose of Mass is adoration, which requires that we actually escape ourselves and consider God over ourselves, then the second purpose is a logical result, and that is thanksgiving. Because once we realize who and what God is, our Creator, and we realize what he has done, sending his Son into the world, the God who saved us and did not have to, suddenly we have an attitude of thanksgiving. If we're humble, the modern Mass goer today is not necessarily so humble. Too many Catholics believe the four ends of Mass are about making them happy, making them laugh, making them feel good about themselves, and making them have some kind of golden nugget they can take home with regards to some worldly situation like immigration, or worse yet, the toleration of sin. Those aren't the four ends of Mass. The Mass is offered not to you, not to you, not to you. The Mass is offered to God the Father by God the Son. And through God the Holy Spirit, you and I are present to the great mystery, which is why the Church calls for ritual actions and things that are foreign. You don't use incense at home, logically so. Use it in church. You don't do the things and use a language we use at church at home, because this is about adoring God first and foremost in the way that God is set down. And then once we again see who God is, we're thankful. We're thankful that he sent the Son to save us. We're thankful that he gives us the opportunity to be present here at the Mass. And ideally, we wanted to be here. We were eager to be here. And this is the high point of our week. It begins everything for us and ends everything for us, week after week after week. Not something that is mundane and ordinary. It will be if we're not engaged in it. It will be if our hearts are not set on the four ends of Mass, the four purposes. But if our hearts are set on those four purposes, the first two being adoration and thanksgiving, then Mass transforms us every time we're here. It makes sense to us every time we're here. It calls us out of ourselves. None of us would acknowledge, if we're in a real, authentic relationship with another human being, that being in relationship with that other human being calls us out of ourselves. If it's a healthy relationship, it most certainly does. But if it's not, love is a needful thing. It is a kind of dependence. It is a passion that's out of control. It's not really love, it's self-serving. It's pride, self-love. And the other person is merely the object that allows me to feel the good that comes from the idea of being in love, but I never escape myself. I'm only considering me, and the other person is about me. Hence, that is why we have so many lonely, sad, and desperate individuals, even within the church, because they don't know God, and therefore they don't know what love is. And so thanksgiving is easy to understand. The word itself, Eucharistia, is from the Koine Greek, means thanksgiving. And just as the Christ would give thanks to God before he raised Lazarus from the dead, so does, for example, the Mass, the preface, The prayer before the Holy Holy is prayed as an indication of giving thanks to God before the great miracle of the altar occurs, when through the words of the priest who acts in the person of Christ, not in his own self, the Christ himself comes down from heaven and makes himself truly present in what will become the sacred species. Body, blood, soul, divinity, its very substance changed. Substance is what it is. Its accidents, its appearances remain the same, looking like bread, looking like wine, but its substance is totally different. What a miracle. And we should be grateful for that miracle, because it's by that miracle of the altar, which is our participation in the one true sacrifice of Christ, that we have access to the forgiveness of sins, that we have access to the graces that allow us to overcome our concupiscence, our choosing the lesser goods over the greatest good, that is God, of letting our lower natures, our passions, govern our higher nature, our reason, and the matters of God and the soul. Without grace, we can't do it, but grace builds on nature. So if you and I don't have the will, it doesn't work. God won't force us to be good. Be convenient, but it's not going to happen, because love is never binding. Love is never imprisoning. Love is always liberating. And therefore, true love always liberates. God makes us free because he is free in and of himself. He is perfect love, he is perfectly content. And like it or not, contrary to the myth that many Christians live today, God absolutely does not need us. He absolutely does not need us. He is complete and perfect in and of himself. He created us out of love to be free creatures. We need him. He does not need us. He is the source of all being, the source of all life. And when we adore him, we become aware of who he is, and therefore we are grateful to him. We show thanksgiving to him. And make no mistake, this is important to our Lord. We see it in the incident with the 10 lepers who were cured. Our Lord is offended that only one leper comes back to give thanks, and that one was a Samaritan. The other 9 felt entitled to the gift and then went to the priest so they could be declared ritually pure, so they could go back to their families, they could go back to their homes. They saw themselves as more important than God, and therefore they were ungrateful, and they felt entitled, and they would not thank him for the gift. We see so many children today who harbor that same thing, that they never say thank you to their parents or thank you to anyone who gives them anything. We see that entitlement all over our world, and that's why the world is so angry, and that's why we live in a culture that worships and adores the notions of victimhood, notions of powerlessness, because when you're powerless, then you begin to believe you deserve things. You are helpless, and therefore everybody should take care of you. And we're seeing that more and more in our culture, which is ironic, since in the ancient languages, the verb for act is the same verb they would use for sacrifice. The two were inseparable, and therefore Christ on the cross is never passive, but always active, offering himself in totality to God the Father for our salvation. And the Catholic life then is supposed to be about us doing the same exact thing according to our states in life, living lives of self-sacrifice, living lives of action, not of passivity, and living lives where we do indeed make a difference in the world and not become victims of it, living lives where we know our value is beyond estimation, no matter what the world says to us, because God created each and every one of us individually. Our parents procreated our bodies, but it is God who created our souls, and our souls animate the bodies. That's why no child belongs to his parents. Each child belongs to God, entrusted to the parents, because it is God who created the soul, not the parents. And if there were no soul in the body, it would be dead. Therefore, the child belongs to God, and God expects a reckoning of what the parents have done for the children. And if the children have, or the parents rather, have acted instead of being passive, then they raise up virtuous children. But if they're passive and it's let things happen, then there's no sacrifice involved, and therefore there's no love involved. And it's the same with Mass then. If you are passive and lukewarm and could care less about what's going on at the Holy Sacrifice, then there's nothing that God can do for you, because it is your way of saying you're not interested. It is your way of indicating that in your free will you're choosing not to adore him and not to thank him, because you're more important than he is. And that's what ignorance gets you, and that's why the devil likes to keep us ignorant and likes to keep us in the dark. St. Francis de Sales, as I alluded to last week and again this week, says at the Mass we should view Christ at certain points of the Mass in order to enter into the mystery of the Mass. And this is an important thing to do. It's easier to do in the extraordinary form because that's the form he knew, but it can be done in the ordinary form by virtue of the things that apply. Enter into the views of the Savior, he says during Mass. Don't be dependent upon a missal. St. Leonard Port-Maurice said, if you don't need a missal, don't use one. You should read the readings and the prayers of Mass, even if you go to the extraordinary form, before Mass. Don't do it during Mass. And you should know what's going on at Mass because the ritual actions themselves communicate the mystery, not the book. The book is to help you understand, but ideally you have gone through the book and you know what everything means so that you can enter into the mystery of the Mass. What could be more distracting for your neighbor who might be praying, actually praying the Mass, and you're distracting them by turning the pages of your missal? That can bring your neighbor out of the mystery of the Mass because you are busy turning the pages in your missal. Look at the prayers before Mass. Contemplate on them before Mass so you enter the mystery of Mass. And then use what St. Francis de Sales said. Remember, St. Francis de Sales went into a world after the Protestant Revolution. He was trying to bring Catholics back who had joined the Protestants, who had joined the ease of Protestantism and the reality of once saved, always saved, where a Protestant actually believes he's the uncaused cause, the unmoved mover, because God revolves around him, and it's up to him to accept salvation, up to him to make himself saved, different from the Catholic notions of cooperation with grace. Francis de Sales says, when the priest goes to the altar, picture Christ entering the Garden of Gethsemane. When the priest begins the prayers, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, picture Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. Because remember, the whole point of the Mass is to enter into the life of Christ, not yourself. Not to think, how does this affect me? How do I like that? How do I? No, it's all about leaving yourself behind and adoring God the Father through God the Son in the power of God the Holy Spirit. At the Confiteor, at the I Confess, picture our Lord, St. Francis de Sales says, prostrate on the in the floor of the Garden of Gethsemane, anticipating his suffering. At the Kyrie, picture Peter denying Jesus. When the priest turns and says, the Lord be with you, picture Peter as Christ looks at him and is converted by the look of Christ. At the readings, consider as the priest moves to the other side, it is Jesus being taken to the house of Caiaphas. At the gospel preparation, Jesus taken to Pilate and to Herod. At the gospel, Jesus mocked and sent back to Pilate. At the uncovering of the chalice, which is why the chalice is uncovered at Mass. See, if your nose is stuck in a missal, you're missing all this. The reason the priest takes the veil off the chalice, it represents the stripping of Christ of his clothing. It represents Christ being stripped. Everything the church does has a meaning, has a point. And therefore, at the offertory prayers, you are to picture Jesus being scourged for you, for your salvation. When the pall is put back on the chalice, that's when Jesus is crowned with thorns. At the lavabo, when the priest washes his hands, that's when Pilate is washing his hands. At the oratore fratres, when the priest turns around and says, pray, brethren, that is when you are to picture, according to Francis de Sales, the ecce homo, when Pilate says, behold the man, and Christ comes out in the robe after he's been scourged in the crown of thorns, all for you and your salvation. At the preface, Jesus is condemned to death, that prayer before the Holy Holy. At the consecration, that's Jesus on Calvary Hill. The elevation of the host is Jesus lifted high on the cross. The elevation of the chalice is the blood of Christ poured out for your salvation. When the priest hits his chest, indicating that he is a sinner, that is when Jesus converts St. Dismas, who acknowledges his sinfulness and asks the Lord to remember him when he comes into his kingdom. At the Our Father, with its seven petitions, that's to be connected to the seven last words of our Lord, Francis de Sales says. At the fraction rite, when the host is broken, if your nose is buried in the missal, you miss it. At the fraction rite, Jesus dies on the cross. And that's why the fraction rite is there, because the body is broken. At the commingling, Jesus descends to hell in his soul to collect the souls of the righteous. At the priest's communion, Jesus is placed in the tomb. At the purification of the vessels, Jesus' body is quickly prepped in the tomb by the Blessed Mother before they close the tomb to do its actual anointing, or so they're going to think, on Easter Sunday. At the communion antiphon, that's an indication that Christ is risen. At the last, Lord be with you, that's Jesus appearing with his disciples. The post-communion prayer is Jesus conversing with his disciples. The final, Lord be with you, before the blessing is Jesus bidding farewell to his disciples and ascending into heaven. And the blessing is Pentecost, when Jesus sends the Holy Spirit down to you. Francis de Sales suggested these views of the Savior to help people enter into the mystery of the Mass, which they had lost because of Protestantism. And therefore, it demonstrates you have to have an active, willful participation at Mass. You can't just sit there and watch it go by. You can't just sit there and be distracted by all the things or thinking about lunch afterwards. You must enter the mystery. And you have a rare luxury to do that, because I cannot enter into the mystery in the same way you do, in a way that is appreciated, because there's so much that I have to do. But the graces there are different and more profound. And even the servers can't enter into that mystery as well as you because of their functions. But they're there to serve you by virtue of how they move and what they do in their functions, so that you see the mystery and experience the mystery and recognize that it's not going to be effective for you unless you enter into it. The church has long taught that you will get nothing out of Mass if you put nothing into it. And she means sacramental theology. She means you'll get no graces and you'll have no fruits, because God will not impose his goodness on you. He offers it as a gift and you must receive it. So consider the first two points, adoration and thanksgiving. And consider the reality that I'll be putting in the bulletin of Francis de Sales and telling you how to enter into the views of the Savior during Mass. In other words, consider there's a reason the ancient languages made the verb act and the verb sacrifice the same word. This is the life of Christ itself, himself, always active, always true, and you and I are supposed to be imitating him. If we enter into the mystery of the Mass, not only do we have the grace to do it, but we'll have the willingness and the excitement and the eagerness to do it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.